Hello, you. Why don't you sit down and maybe by the fire?
Take a load off.
Take a load off.
Pour yourself your favorite drink. Settle in.
Put a load on.
Put a load of laundry,
that is.
Put a load of laundry on. Throw another log on the fire.
By the time it's done, the laundry or the log, maybe not the log, but definitely the laundry, then you'll be so much more clever because you will have listened.
It's like you've never done one of these
it's
before.
It's almost like I've never introduced the podcast before. I tried to do something different, but I didn't think it through.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Debrief Podcast with me, Stevie.
And me, Tessa.
It's not like you said Carla.
Curl up.
Curl up, Carla.
Curl up, Carla.
Unless you're moving to the big city, in which case, listen to this podcast, maybe while you're kicking back, because this is all about how to move to a big city if you're not used to cities. It was suggested to us by Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Zeta-Jones.
Hi, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I presume
it's her.
We don't know she lives in a big city.
Well, where did she go after Chicago, you know?
I don't know.
She didn't really make any big hits after that.
Did she not?
Well, she's busy raising her two very Welsh children, Dylan and Caris.
And having a lovely relationship with her husband, Michael.
We wish her all the best.
We wish her all the best.
Thank you for writing in.
Thanks for listening, Catherine.
Thank you for listening. She's our number one.
I don't know what you
fan.
Get out of this podcast, if I'm honest.
She loves it. She said so in the email she sent us and asked about how
Zorro.
To move to and the answer was, yes, we loved it.
Catherine, stop asking us.
I
say it was your breakout role.
It was her breakout. God, she's good in it.
Sorry. Anyway,
She came alive in Zorro.
You'd be forgiven for thinking this was a podcast about just how to be more like Catherine Zeta-Jones. It's not. It's about how to move to the big city. But before we do that, I'm going to ask the question I ask Tessa every week. And she looks surprised whenever I ask
Constantly
it.
Surprised.
What's the most adult thing that you've done this week, Tessa?
I actually wrote it down, so I'd be... That's the most adult thing.
That's it.
I thought of an adult thing, then I wrote it down. But guys, that was it.
Genuinely, that's excellent. And secondary?
Secondary is that I've been doing something that we recommended, which was, I know, right? Writing yourself a to-do list. I've got a Google Doc now that, you know...
Yeah.
Is it, somebody said use a spreadsheet. I ain't...
Bit much.
Yeah. Bit much. I'm not ready. A Google Doc, to-do list. And then when I've done it, I move it just one bit down into my to-done list.
Oh.
And then... You can only have it for the day, then it gets deleted. Otherwise, just be a list of everything you've ever done. But it, like, at the end of the day, you can be like, oh, yeah, I did do that. Or, oh,
that's
yeah,
nice.
That's a good... Oh, yeah. Because otherwise, sometimes you get halfway through the day and you're like,
how have
I got here? What am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. Because once you've crossed it off, it's gone. And my other thing was that which segues neatly into today's topic, is I talked to a stranger on the tube last night. They were obviously... leaving the end of a date and he wanted to kiss her and his stop was in two stops and he didn't know how to like play it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I guess this is the end. And then she said like, yes, ta-ta for now.
and then
he was like, so maybe I'll text his body language was like, I was watching them in the reflection.
Mm.
I was sat beside her and then they did indeed kiss and then he left and then she just like was like sort of looking like straight ahead and then after we pulled away I said, do you want to debrief about your date? And she really laughed and then we talked all the way home. I missed my stop so I stayed on with her because she really did want to debrief.
That's great.
And I felt wonderful.
That's why you're a member of the Debrief podcast.
Yeah, so I just debrief with strangers left, right and centre.
That's a great one.
If you're listening incidentally, that was me. Imagine that.
Imagine
if it was a girl who listened.
Oh, wow. I see what you mean. I was like, I just said imagine. I didn't know what you're talking
Thank
about.
Thank you.
Imagine, yeah,
Tessa. Guys, the rate at which Stevie agrees with things that she does not know what I've said is alarming.
It's not just Tessa. It's most people because I always like to appear amenable over the fact, over being like, what? Because I think that if I say, sorry, what? They'll think I'm mean? I don't understand that. Okay, so my little thing is going to be a thing that I do.
Great.
Which is I'm going to, when I don't understand something, say, sorry, what do you mean by that? Or,
no,
sorry,
you
what?
Are right. It's a really lovely, it's a really nice quality.
It's a nice quality, but it does make me appear a little bit thick. Because
I don't think it makes you appear thick.
Yes. Sorry, what was that? Or like, yes. Who is she?
To me, I only pick it up when I've gone like, the rabbits are in the oven again. And then you're like, yeah, well.
Yeah,
and then after a while, you're like, oh, that's what you meant. I'm like, what did you think I meant? And you're like, I don't know. I thought you were just talking. Yeah. And I was like, you must think I'm insane.
There is some level of that with you because you will occasionally could say things that it could be anything. So yeah, I am like, often just
I'd rather not engage, actually.
And I'm sure
it probably will present itself later. Yeah, exactly.
It probably will present itself later. Is it good? But my actual adult thing was I did a panel, some people a couple of weeks ago, and it was about like being a freelancer and how to get paid. Quite good, although we didn't get paid for it.
That's the future, isn't it?
I did bring that up, so it was fine. And everyone loved it.
You get a good laugh.
I got a good laugh. The other thing...
In many ways, better than money, isn't it?
I mean, genuinely, yes. But it was good because I also got tips myself from other people on the panel.
Oh, great.
So my friend Dolly was on it.
And Dolly Alderton?
Yes. And she
coolest
said,
girl in the world. Hi, Dolly.
She is very cool. I don't think she listens. So I was saying about how you just, you know, constantly like chasing invoices all the time and no one ever pays you on time. And this is the thing that's, it's a constant bane of my life. And it means that quite often I'll be like without money, because even though I've done all the work. So she said that she sets a reminder for exactly 30 days every single time she sends an invoice, like to the hour. And so then she wakes up on that day and just immediately chases. And every time you do have to chase, but it's good because so often I will have been in the past like, oh yeah, what did happen to that? And then I like have to count back and be like,
what did happen to that?
Or like, I should have chased last week and I didn't. And it's actually so much better. And so just all those things that you don't do because it's boring. And then you're like, not boring, because it means that I can eat, that sort of thing. What if you want to move
what
to the
big
city?
What if you want to leap and bound into your new life?
Into your new life.
In the big
because
city.
Because me and you have both, I grew up in a town, so it wasn't really the same. It wasn't quite as small as Tessa's village, but we didn't grow up in cities.
I grew up in the deep countryside.
Deep countryside. And I grew up in sort of like soft, shallow countryside, up to your waist in grass, whereas you were like fully submerged.
Yeah.
And then we both moved, and then we both went to uni at a place which was very small in Durham. And then we moved to London. We still kind of have a good idea of what it was like moving to the city and potentially made lots of mistakes. I know I did in terms of how I approached it. So maybe, yeah, it'd be useful for you guys to, if you're thinking about it, to hear our experiences. We'll give you some top facts and top tips.
Because probably most people at some point in their life have made a city leap.
Yeah, I think
that
it's
is ultimately, I mean, as we all learned in geography, year 9, rural to urban migration.
I've not heard that for so long. My God,
right?
Yes.
Oxbow Lakes.
Oxbow Lakes. And yeah, although actually, I don't think I did Oxbow Lakes.
I don't think I did either.
No, but everyone talks about them
right?
all the time.
I think I'm confident I did that.
There's always you, that pull, isn't there?
Dick
the
Whittington.
Pull of the bright lights.
Everyone's been doing it for
the
millennia.
Singing in the rain. Gotta dance. And he goes to Broadway. So we both live in London, but this is not London specific. Hopefully our references won't be too London-centric, because London is just the same as any other city. It's just bigger and there's more people and people complain about it more.
You don't get that same level of internal hate.
Internal hate.
I think we've all got Stockholm syndrome in here.
Yeah, it is like being in an abusive relationship.
But he's so good-looking.
He's so good-looking. And there's so much good stuff on Freecycle.
Yeah, and those are the two main draws.
Yes. So I thought I'd start with like, what about people kind of looking for flats in like when you're like, I'm going to move to the city, starting from there and then moving through your city journey of things that will be in it like an issue. Obviously, where you live will be the first issue. And you may do what I did, which is I looked at the city and obviously you're just looking at a city on a map and you just don't know where the bits are. So I was obviously like, well, I live in the centre.
Right, yeah, of course.
Then, where's that Charing Cross? Well, I live there.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're listening and you're absolutely rolling in it, you absolutely can. Good on you. When you're looking at a city, I found things like Reddit have got like, or like just sprawling forums like Reddit. But
no,
Reddit definitely has lots of threads to do with different, like living in different parts of the city. So if you search on those parts, like because I remember when I was thinking about moving to a different part of London, I looked on Reddit and they had like, you know, just people asking that exact question, like who's ever lived here? What's it like? Mm. And you get a really good sense because people are really honest. Whereas if you go on like an estate agent's, like Foxton's, Foxton's have like, you know, area by area guides and they make it sound so lovely when it really, some parts really aren't. And there will be parts of a city where, if you've got no money, or I mean not no money at all, but if you've got like a very small amount of money and you're trying to find somewhere to live, like it can be really overwhelming because you've got, well, I don't want to live in like a rich area, and like the really cheap places you might immediately snap it up, But then, do you want to live there? Because what if it's really dangerous? Like, you don't want to live in the really dangerous part. So basically, you've just got to do a lot of research and not on like official websites. You've got to go a little bit deeper and look at like Reddit and places where people are just talking freely about stuff.
Yes,
weirdly,
yes, yes.
Mumsnet is quite good because all the mums are
they
like, I'm thinking of moving here.
They cray on Mumsnet.
They are cray, but they also really care about where they live. So if you want to check... But and they're not all posh. Like, if you want to check an area of a city, they'll may talk more about sort of school catchment areas. Mm, sure.
Certainly.
But they will say, like, oh, don't live there. Like, it's not a safe place for kids to grow up, or it's not a... And they will... And then if, you know, there's just lots more to talk about.
The internet will be super honest.
But also, spareroom.com's great. I didn't realise this as well when I was moving to a city. Living on your own is often a lot more expensive than living in a house share because obviously everyone would like their own space. But you might just suck it up and live with people. And whether that's a friend or whatever, if you don't have any friends in that city, then Spare Room is great. Gumtree is great. You just have to vet it a bit more. You know, don't just say yes without going to look at the flat and meet the people. And you can hit a flat share checkbox on Zoopla and Rightmove as well. So they only come up with rooms. And actually, the rooms are really lovely. And they're not necessarily, not all of them, obviously, but you get a much better overview of what the room is. And it's a little bit more, it feels a little bit more official than like things like Craigslist. And they're like, need woman. Have sex every night. You're like, cool, that's cheap though.
That seems a good deal.
That seems really legit. I can't speak.
Yes. When I was little, I used to be really like heartbreakingly sad for Miss Honey, who had to live by herself. Miss Honey from Matilda.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to.
Certainly.
I'm on board of Major.
I was like heartbreakingly sad for her that she had to live by herself on the edge of the forest in this little beautiful cottage and had like a cardboard box as a table. And I was like, she lives alone.
I've become catatonic with jealousy.
I know, right? Now I'm like, I cannot think of anything better than living in that little...
All I want to do is live by myself.
I want to live by myself so hard. Like, and as a child, it was the worst thing I could imagine.
Yeah, of course, because you want to live with like your friends. And actually, that is when you're moving to a city. If you're moving to a city and you're a bit younger, say you're a student, and you, like us, move into the bright lights to get a job or to do some more studying or whatever, that's part of the fun of it, is getting a flat with friends.
For God's sake, stay with with pals.
Yes, or when in doubt, stay with pals. Obviously, if you're moving to a city and it's for job or just literally you just want to get the hell out there and you don't know anyone, then flat shares and spare rooms.
But get a flat share where it's like as many people as you can, not like, and now there's 100 of us living in this one room, but like the more people there are,
the cheaper the rent, the cheaper the bills.
And the higher your chance of finding at least one of them being normal.
Of course, yeah.
So if it's just you and like Oliver and... I think I really got across a lot about Oliver.
Yeah, really. You don't need to explain.
No further
I can almost see him.
Yeah. Just you and him, your chances of that going well, quite slim.
They are slim.
But if it's like there's 8 people living in the house, then one of them's going to be nuts, but one of them might be all right. So just surround yourself with people.
Mm. And there's also like scary words like warehouse flat aren't that scary anymore. And you can get these cool warehouse apartments where there's literally like so many people living there and they're quite nice. They're just like, you know, you've got a big communal kitchen and you've got like maybe a communal shower, or you've got but they're really, really cheap as well. But it's, again, it's always good to go and see it.
Go and look at it.
Pictures aren't enough. And I've been burned so much.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. And if something in you feels like, oh, is it right just to have this sheet as a door?
No.
Is it right that we're growing all these sort of medicinal narcotic plants in the kitchen? Like, gosh, there's a lot of mold, isn't there? Like, if those things... Don't then be like, oh, I guess it's this cool young living in the city.
No,
just like listen to that bit in you, because I
don't
think it's so easy.
First thing that comes along.
In the same way as like in your first job when everyone absolutely shits on you physically and emotionally, but then you're like, okay, I guess this is adult life, you know? Yeah. And they're like, I guess living as a grown up involves living in the damp.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
And getting spores.
And also on the flat note, I think, again, I didn't know when I first moved to a city. I didn't know to the extent, maybe in your town or village or wherever you went to uni or whatever, the landlord's like an old, kindly lady who, if you don't pay rent, that's okay, love. You can just never pay it. And here's a cake. in the city, in most cities, they will take you for all you've got. And the amount of times that I've been burned by deposits and been like, but when I moved in, there were maggots and literally everything was broken. And then we replaced everything and it's so much nicer now. And they'd be like, no. And you're like, but if there's no evidence of that, then your deposit will be taken away from you. So you have to take pictures of everything.
Of every single
thing. Literally
go through. You get that big like itinerary like list.
And it's so boring.
And you're so boring. You're like, yeah. And you sign it. Oh my goodness, go through that with a fine tooth comb. Like pretend it's someone else's house and you are a lawyer.
Sit on all the chairs before you tick that they're okay. Because our first flat I lived in, we had a dining table and four chairs, and we obviously like ticked everything. I had dead maggots in my clothes drawers when I opened them, like, so I couldn't use the clothes drawers. Like, that was the level of flat I lived in. And anyway, so we had these four chairs.
God.
We all ticked yes for everything. And then like third day, my housemate just sat on one of the chairs, one of the three legs just fell off, and he slowly fell on the floor. And it's just like, oh, we've already done it now.
And then
we had to pay for that. Well, he took the whole deposit off us for some ridiculous reason. Like, we'd used some blue tack or something. Like, he took like $2,000 off us.
They're going to take you horrible.
So take photos of everything.
Pretend it's a crime scene.
Don't blue tack stuff up. Always ask the landlord before you do anything, because it's so easy to be like, I'll put up a shelf, and then suddenly you've lost $2,000. Like, it's not worth it.
Coming at you from the side of the guys who do put up the shelves,
of course.
Despite the instructions not to.
Yes.
Some silicon putty.
Yeah.
When you're leaving. And a paint that's the right shade.
Does that
will
look
do.
Good though? Because often I always feel like it will just look like you won't match the shade properly, and then it'll just look like
I am like a master level at matching shades.
So first tip, become a master level.
But that is born of years of experience of breaking things and learning to cover my mistakes.
Very few rooms are going to be like, this is a colour no one's ever seen before.
Yeah, they'll be white. Like, and also, this is important, paint samples in B&Q or other large homeware places are free.
Oh, cool. So you can just like...
So you don't have to go and buy like 8 litres of paint. You just have to go and be like, I'm guessing it's one of these-ish shades.
Great. Try all of them, and then that's all you need
all
to
of
paint
them.
That
they're
little bit.
They're free, or they're 50p for little taster pots.
Great
so you're
hack.
Like, yeah, great hack. Incidentally, also good if you want to like, you know, I upcycle a shelf or some bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And you're like, you just want a little bit of paint.
To make your little room look nice. You've got a room. You get in there, you're like, well, I don't have a bed or anything. In the great thing about cities, I sort of joked about it and then thought, Stevie, that joke came from truth. Freecycle is so great. It's incredible. The only difficulty sometimes is in like transporting stuff. So if you don't know about Freecycle, it's a website that looks like it was made in 1843 and that no one has ever updated it. And every time you hit back, it goes right to the beginning.
That's so
and
true. It's so shit.
So user unfriendly. It's bizarre. But it's worth it because basically people just post things like, oh, I've got a chest of drawers here. You join different groups depending on your area. It'll be like a mile radius, and there's millions of different groups, all different cities. And then you can search. So let's say if you didn't have a bed frame, you're like, I don't know, a bed frame. Someone will just have one. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is it's often collection only. So it might occasionally be a case of like getting an Uber or something like that. But if an Uber's what, like, you know, within a mile, it'd be about a fiver. And then you've got a bed for a fiver, that sort of thing. I mean, a bed wouldn't fit in an Uber. So that was a dreadful. A shelf.
Get yourself a pal. A bin. Walk there.
A laundry basket. Oh my God, get four pals. All of you go. Because
what a fun day out.
Yeah, what a fun
now
day.
Now we're bonding. I put our mattress on Freecycle and some people came and got it. I couldn't believe that.
Well, yeah.
Met them.
I didn't let them.
No, some boys came, asked Kat out afterwards.
Did they?
I mean, what a day.
What a day for everyone.
They looked so happy walking down the road with this shitty IKEA mattress.
It's great. Also, it's good if your mattress is really upsetting, because rented properties, often the mattress is upsetting. Mm-hmm. You can maybe Freecycle the mattress or get like industrial strength mattress toppers. That's good for cities as well, because... the mattress.
Yeah. That's a great shout. Really, yeah. If your mattress is horrifying, and we've talked about in the sleep podcast about like, for God's sake, get a better mattress.
Just get a better mattress.
And then you're like, but is that in the deposit? The inventory is a mattress. Again, get yourself when you leave. Take your nice mattress with you, and get another one on Freecycle.
Like,
or get a
£10
crap mattress from somewhere.
That's great.
Just put the crap stuff back in when
don't
you leave.
Don't sleep on a shit mattress.
Don't do that. Just don't. Cost yourself a year of shit sleeping because like, but at the end I owe them this. No.
Oh yeah, definitely. Another good thing about cities I found is that just the amount, because of just the amount of people there, because of the amount of stuff, the amount of transport, the amount of things going on, there's so much more like discount stuff. So like, not in terms of shopping, but that too. But in terms of like travel cards and rail cards and, you know, things like if you've got a student card, you can put that on your 16 to 25 rail card and get even more money off. And like, or I know London have like Oyster sort of but they're kind of phasing it out now. It's more just like contactless card. But in other cities, like in Manchester, they've got like they've got a similar sort of thing, like for like the tram and things like that. Like normally weekly travel cards or daily things are so much cheaper. And again, for ages, it's really overwhelming because you don't know the transport system. You don't know even the stop that you're going to. So why would you be like, oh, I'm going to sort out this card too? Like, it's a bit too much, but actually you will spend so much money not knowing and paying like a tourist, basically.
Yeah, don't be a tourist. Get yourself on Money Saving Expert or Martin's Money Tips. You can type in your area or your area travel or the city name travel, and then they'll come up with tips being like, you can get a weekend saver here. Like, you can get this.
That's so
Martin's
good.
Money Tips is excellent.
Oh my gosh, Martin's Money Tips.
Put in specific name, specific thing that you want, and he'll tell you a tip.
That's amazing.
He's not like Ask Jeeves. He's a real human
being. Yeah, he's Martin. His name's Martin.
His name's Martin.
He's got a lot of money tips.
He's the face of the brand.
Absolutely. Apps as well, in terms of transport, we're on it. Like, a city will probably have Uber. The two apps I was going to say was like the app City Mapper, because that is all the cities, and it just tells you how to get from A to B in the quickest way possible, in the most simple way possible.
Let me tell you an amazing thing that City Mapper has done.
What?
It has taken all the data of people using it and like what time people are using it, how people are trying to, where people are trying to get to, and it has put on in London, but I think in other major cities, its own bus route. So for example, this is a London specific one. There is no bus from Shoreditch to Finsbury Park.
Right.
Insert anything you'd like there. There's no bus from Shoreditch to Finsbury Park. So City Mapper have put on their own bus link. It's called the C3. They've kick-started.
I used to live in Finsbury Park, and Shoreditch was a nightmare.
Yeah, to get to. And so they've taken the data that is like, oh, look, people are trying to...
And they can't.
And get here, and they can't. They have to go on a roundabout route.
That's
and they
wonderful.
Want to go at this, and this is the peak time they want to... They've been looking up how to do that route.
Yeah.
So they've taken all that data that they've been using, and then they've given the people what they need.
What they needed.
And
oh
so they've
God,
made this,
so
and they've got this little bus. It's really sweet. And it's got, on the bus, I'd taken it once. It was the highlight of my night. Mm-hmm. Phone charging plugs.
Use City Mapper because it...
What a wonderful thing.
You put stuff in, you get stuff out. It's a real lifesaver because when I moved to London, there was so much of... and any city will have this. There'll be like... The train that you always get, whether it's a tube, a tram or whatever, will one day, one night, just not be running for some reason. Mm-hmm. And then you literally don't know what to do. Like, you're fully stranded and you feel so alone and so silly. Having City Mapper is just it's just so important. And Uber for emergencies as well. Like Uber, I'm not going to go into the ethics of it. We're just talking about things that are useful in the city. And I'm doing my tax return at the moment, and I found Uber very useful in the city.
Yeah, so I think it is a genuine emotional, like, it is like a life-changing thing.
Yes.
Of being like, and it also gets you out of, because you will in the city find yourself in some real pickles.
Yeah.
And the ability to be like, oh, I just get this thing out of my phone and I can get myself out of here.
I can just leave now. I can leave in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't have to then be like, because I also like parts of, if you're in a part of the city that you don't know, you could just feel totally trapped. Like, you don't know how to get
home. Oh my goodness.
It's
like a mind-blowing level of independence to be like, I'm okay.
Yeah, and it's not expensive. Uber is not expensive.
No.
That's why it's great.
Yeah, I put on my list here, practice the travel. Like,
practice
the travel. So if you've moved to a new place and you have to be at work at whatever time, give yourself so much margin for error. Housemate's younger brother is staying with us, and he is very green and with dreams of just maybe paying £200 for rent and living in... living in Westminster Abbey, you know, just being like, yeah, why can't I get that? Like, he can't believe, like, he's been absolutely dumbfounded by things like council tax, and like, it's just really like it's just having that person in there again and be like, oh yeah, I remember being like, and I have to pay that, and I have to do this thing. He has like a 20-minute journey to work, and it's repeatedly taken him like an hour and a half.
Oh.
He keeps missing the breakfast briefing, and we said, oh, what happens at breakfast briefing? And he's like, don't know, never made it.
not
been able to get there, because he's like looked it up on, you know, on the internet and been like, okay, I get this train, and then the train has not arrived or been cancelled or whatever, and he's just like not knowing what else to do.
Yeah.
So he's just
waiting for the next train,
because he can't fathom like how else to, you know, he didn't have City Mapper, didn't have any sort of like,
yeah. So there may be a bus.
Therefore, it's like, you know, you are just like sort of looking at that massive map and being like, how else do I get here?
Yeah,
and when
it's horrible.
You get to a city, you don't have that understanding of like, oh, because you'd go like, oh, I got to go down here and up here, rather than be like, oh, I can actually just walk from here to here.
Oh, that
and then it's
so
quicker.
Much. Yeah.
And that is a real, like, that's a real, what am I thinking of? Like, when the wool is pulled off your eyes?
Wool is pulled out of your eyes. when you realise you can walk. No, that is true. There's so many instances where you realise.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, there's a bus that goes right to that doorstep.
This is here to here. Yeah. This is what this is. Because if you live underground all the time, if you live underground, if you constantly just do your route from your map, yeah. you never really understand how everything connects on the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't understand how easy it is to be like, oh, I get there to there. Anyway,
that's
he's
why,
adorable.
That's why I'd quite recommend walking.
Do loads of walking. It's
in like
so
the weekend,
important.
If you're meeting up with mates in a bar or something, just walk there. Just like yeah. see if you can walk there, because worst case scenario, you just get a bus halfway through if it's like too far. But you get to see the city and you get to have a feel of it, and you're like, come across. Obviously don't walk through like terrifying like outskirts or whatever. Just like, you know, a normal walk. Like a mile, under a mile. Have a walk.
A lovely under a mile walk.
A bloody walk. 100-mile walk. No. You mentioned counterattacks, and then I think that's massive.
Massively fun.
Massively fun, and my favourite part of living.
I don't know why I'm being dismissed about him not knowing. Then my housemate said how much it was, and then I said, a year. She went, a month, you idiot. And I was like, oh, are we paying that? And she was like, yes, you moron.
And counterattacks and water and gas and all that. I think like when you move somewhere, you kind of forget about it, and you can't. You have to make sure that is all sorted. And if they haven't asked you for it, don't be like, well, they haven't asked me for it, so I won't pay it. Because then what they'll do is they'll ask you for all of it in one go entire
they
year.
They will. Yeah.
That is what literally what they do. That is not an exaggeration. If you haven't paid and they find out that you haven't been paying counterattacks and you go, oh, I just didn't realise because no one asked me, they genuinely ask you for the entire year or you go to court. So fully pay. It will be different in different areas of the city as well.
We were on the run from the water bounty hunters for a while.
Oh, yes.
Even though we'd left...
Slippery folk.
Yes, yes. They'll get you. Even though we'd been out of the house for a year and a half, they still... Because we were like, ah, ha, 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 we got out without paying the water.
No,
and we fled, we ran, but they found us. They always found you.
And another thing that I... Again, a lot of these things I'm saying as if, you know, look, guys, it's really easy. And I've made all of the mistakes. Registering for a doctor in the city is a little bit different from registering when you're, you know, it's your village doctor and her name's Jan.
She birthed you.
She birthed you. She's your own mother. you've lived with Jan for years.
Jan, phenomenal woman.
Jan is a phenomenal woman. Obviously, more people, you know, you get like a strict... I remember when I moved to London, just being like horrified by the doctors, because suddenly it's like the registration process, it takes a little bit longer. And then when you go, cool, so can I come and have an appointment? They're like, yes, in 3 weeks. And you're like, but I'm ill now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's Jan?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Jan's
yeah.
not there. And then you only have 5 minutes. And then the doctor's essentially like looking at a watch the whole time. So you basically... register for a doctor's when you move in. So then when you're ill, you didn't have the added stress of being like, you're ill and you're like filling out forms being like, I don't know my NHS number. What is that?
I made mine up. And they said, no, that's not
I've never put mine on anything. You can just go, I don't know it. And they're like, okay, fine. Then they ask you other questions. But I think if you then boldly say one and it's wrong, they obviously won't.
I wrote it down as well. I just literally made one up on the form and they ran me and I was like, what's that?
What's that?
But also I didn't even know how long the number was. So sure. I just made a guess.
Four.
Yeah. I'm number
four. I was the NHS. Love that.
Yeah, I'm number four.
At least go double figures. At least.
At least, mate.
The very least.
I think you just got to prepare, like be a bit of a squirrel. Preparing your nuts for winter.
Very good. It's like, be a squirrel, register for the doctors.
But like, do stuff ahead of when you know you don't need it.
And maybe just make a little list of all these things that were mentioned. Make a list now of all these things that we're mentioning. But like, you know, council tax, doctor's appointments, Martin's money tips for transport things to sort out. And just you have a list and then you just tick them off that, you know, in the first 3 days that you're there. Bam, 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 done. And then you know... Then also, it's kind of nice because then you feel like you're really like bedded down into the city, like you live there now because you have all this stuff. So it kind of helps you to put your roots down. And roots are at the bottom of the tree, just like your feet are. Buy some trainers, flat shoes. Don't try and wear heels. I only wore heels at uni. I didn't own a pair of flat shoes. I only wore heels. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a true fact, but it genuinely is. And then I moved to London and like my ankles just fell out. After work, you'll be like, oh, cool, it's fine. I'll wear my heels because I'm just going to go home. And then someone will be like, drinks? You'll be like, Louise, I've got my heels on. And then you have to like, and then you'll be late. So you'll have to run for the bus and then you go over your ankle and then you haven't registered for the doctors and then that's the end. So buy some flat shoes. But ballet pumps are obviously excellent, but they just look lame now. So not those, but the sort of flat shoes that you can just like stick in your bag. And talking of bags, backpack. I'll just leave that there.
Backpack?
Backpack.
Why are you shouting backpack?
Always have a backpack in the city because you have to take everything with you all the time because you can't just nip home.
Get yourself a backpack.
Get yourself a nice backpack. And also, always put a phone charger in it because Tessa's phone has just died. Now she can't get home because she can't get on City Mapper. And she's forgotten where her house is because she's a new woman living in the city. It is hard living in the city. Just Tessa's having a hard city day. And this is really good because you need to have a phone charger at home and you need to have a phone charger in your backpack. And then you also need to have in your backpack, you know, snacks, a bottle of water, the stuff you'll need for the whole day.
Because a book.
A book for the train.
Get into reading, y'all, because you're going to be on that train longer than you think.
Like, you really will be. And it'll be cancelled and stuck and delayed.
And you'll think, oh, not to worry. I'm reading this John Grisham.
Yeah, exactly. What a lovely choice. Yeah, headphones for your iPhone. Like, literally stuff. Like, everything that you'll need for that day. Don't go, well, I'll just go pop home after work and then go out. You won't want to.
Oh, you'll never pop home, ever.
And if you ever pop home...
When you leave in the morning... You're ready for everything the day might bring.
Yeah, which is really hard. It's that thing as well that like I've... Since 2010, I've lived in London. That's an odd way of saying it. And I still haven't mastered the art of making food, putting it in a lunchbox so I don't have to buy food. Like, I've not mastered that. Mm. I'm an idiot. I think I know what it is because I do often bulk cook stuff and then I eat it all.
Yes.
I think I have a... outrageous appetite. I'm a greedy, horrible girl who's stupid.
You're a greedy, naughty girl, yes.
I'm a greedy, naughty, horrible girl who's stupid.
That's right.
I have no portion control at all.
No.
So that, but if you do have portion control, then maybe that's it. Like a girl today, I was at, I'm working at a magazine at the moment. She came in with some ratatouille and she'd made ratatouille for essentially the week. She had some ratatouille, some rice, it was leftovers. And I was just staring at her like, how? And she was like, I just put it in a box. I was like, yeah, but how did you not eat it? She's like, well, I was full.
My friend says that you gotta literally put that lid on, put it in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
Immediately.
Put that lid on, put it in the fridge. This is like a wartime classic.
Yeah, wartime classic. And,
and then wash
the out
of your hair.
And then wash that ratatouille out of your hair. And just stop it. Like,
stop it!
You got to. So it isn't just like that. She's like, oh, well, I was full, so I stopped. Because I would literally never stop.
No, no one stops. You bring the pan over and you're like, well, there's less dishes. Then you eat it out of the pan. That's what you do.
So you just got to be like, so don't be like, oh,
so
I guess.
So it's one for my plate, so when people, one for the lunchbox. Put the lunchbox in.
So it isn't that like you're like, oh, well, that girl said that she felt full, so I'll keep eating till I feel full, because she's lying. You just have to be like, stop it. Feed the lunchbox first.
Because
if you feed yourself, then you're like, and anything else I'll put in the lunchbox.
No, lunchbox first.
Lunchbox first.
Ladle one for me, one for the lunchbox.
No.
Another one for me, one for the lunchbox.
Full lunchbox. Oh. And then if there's anything left, then you're allowed it.
Okay. Fine.
Already panicked first, about this
already
fictional.
So panicked. Can't speak.
But what if
it's not enough? And then I have to go into the lunchbox. Yeah, exactly. And that will destroy me.
Yeah,
if
so
I'm eating my lunchbox.
I
have to make loads, yeah. And then maybe two lunchboxes. And then I'll go off. What a shame.
What a nightmare.
Yes, I had this thing, and I think I've made it up, where it's like, you can't put hot food in a lunchbox in the fridge, but I don't know why.
I think I've also made that up and then told you.
No, it's a thing from birth. I feel like it maybe affects the temperature of the fridge. Tom?
I've heard that too, and I would never put hot food in the fridge.
Great, okay. Great. We're all on
the
same
page. Can you put the hot food in and close the Tupperware lid?
I always leave it slightly ajar.
In the fridge?
No. I leave it out, slightly ajar, let it cool down, then pop it in the fridge.
We've got to lock it down.
Put it in a cupboard?
Just have some self-control. I do it every
single day. Oh, no, that's not enough. Mute yourself. Mute yourself immediately.
Have
I can't mute you. I don't have the power. I wish I had the power to mute Tom. I do actually think that putting the lid on, even if it is slightly ajar to let it cool, there's something psychologically you have shut that. Because if I then go into my lunchbox for tomorrow, that's just pathetic. Like, I genuinely think that will be enough and I will try this and I will report back.
I can't wait.
No one can. It's what everyone's talking about. No one can stop talking about it.
It's trending.
Twitter's on fire with me and my potentially ajar lunchbox that I haven't done yet. We've like sorted that. On the topic of food, a thing I didn't realise, and again, a thing that I still do and I hate myself. This is just me talking about my inability to live. in cities, they will have like Tesco Express, mini Sainsbury's, a tiny Waitrose.
Little
my lord, or whatever it's called.
Little. It's
sure.
called Little Waitrose.
Little Waitrose. Sainsbury's local. Tesco Certainly Express.
Could. Certainly could be.
Unless you're in a city and you've got a car, which I've just presumed that no one in a city has a car, but if you have a car, good on you. Keep fighting the good fight. If you don't, you're not living near a massive supermarket. The prices of those little supermarkets are twice the price. They're so expensive. Mm. And you'll just consistently, it'll be easier for you to just pop there and get the stuff you need for that meal now rather than thinking ahead, obviously, because you're tired and you're working and you're living in the city and you've got council tax to
you're
pay.
You're doing your best.
Everyone's doing our best and so are you. But then this is where Tesco Online and Sainsbury's Online and all the other online delivery things really come into their own. And you just have to get into the habit of like doing it online because then you can get all the, you know, Sainsbury's basics and Tesco basic stuff. And it's so cheap. Like, okay, example, most boring thing I've ever said in my life. The Tesco near me, £2 for a chopped tomatoes. Like it's like the fancy chopped tomatoes to make pasta sauce with.
Mm.
Online, 32p. What am I doing with my life? Why am I... Consistently.
It's astonishing.
Why must I do this?
Why don't you just chop an actual tomato?
Oh, because you get more
more
volume.
Bang for your bulk. And
yeah, you do. Yeah. If you buy like a massive amount of tomatoes and you spend ages chopping
I feel like in the large train stations sometimes, sort of well-meaning, good-looking youth in brightly coloured t-shirts keep giving out vouchers for online shopping experiences.
No, they're doing the thing where people deliver ingredients to your door.
No,
and it costs
they are doing
pounds.
That, but they're also doing sometimes like an Ocado, £60 off your Ocado.
Oh, that's nice.
And I always say, no, no.
That'll still be too expensive.
No,
Ocado.
No, goodbye. But sometimes
maybe
now
have
I
a
think,
look at it.
Now I think, I wish I'd taken some of those vouchers.
Yeah, vouchers are good. Because then also then when you're doing Tesco Online, you got get a club card, for example. And then, or like an Ecto card if it's Sainsbury's, or whatever the Asda and Morrison's versions are, or Lidl. And then you've like, then you're making money. You're literally making free money because then you just get money off stuff the next time. Like, it's great. You get like sent vouchers and then you can just use them online. Then it's like free bananas with every orange. I've not done it for a while.
No, that's apparent.
Yes, but it's really useful and I just keep not doing it and I'm really annoyed. So I want you to do it.
For God's sake, get involved.
Just get involved. Do it.
May I segue into your emotional well-being?
Oh my God, segue. Just bulldoze through.
Here it comes. Guys, stay safe. No, your emotional well-being. A big part of moving to a city is obviously leaving behind all that is familiar and dear.
Yeah.
And going to try and make it all alone in the big city. And which comes with a lot of like, oh, I don't think this, I can do this. And I don't think this
so
is for
much
me.
Of that, yeah.
Because there's just nothing, especially if it's literally building your life again from scratch. And it's like, oh, no, thank you.
Mm.
No, everything's so expensive and everybody wants to mug me.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing good here.
Everyone knows each other and I know nobody.
And I know nobody. And the whole thing is very overwhelming. So firstly, like, just accept that everyone feels like that and do not panic that it's happening to you and it will pass. And really look after yourself. And then just do, in the initial early stages, just do some things to really look after yourself, including, like, if you're at home, it's very easy to, like, go home alone and watch, you know, House.
By yourself
again.
Yes.
And eat things out of the pan. But sort of force yourself to, like, go outside because your free time can sometimes become quite overwhelming.
Yeah, you don't have to fill it.
Exactly, in a way that you might once have been like, oh, yes, my whole day to myself, no one to tell me to get up. And then you're suddenly like, oh my God,
yeah.
I could die here all alone like that woman who was eaten by her cats. And it's all too much, which is why, like, live with lots of people, like, do lots of things. Fill your day, like, make sure you're very, very busy early on so you're like, oh God, so much to do today.
Yeah.
So those, like, moments to yourself will feel precious and exciting rather than overwhelming. And
you've got a lot to do. Your council tax, you register for the doctors, practice some trains.
Absolutely.
You know?
quite a busy day.
Got to practice
on the train.
But if you've got, like, flatmates that you don't know, it's quite a nice thing to, like, suggest going to the local, like, the pub around the corner or whatever, because that's like a there'll be a pub near you and that's like quite a nice bonding thing.
Yeah, and then certainly.
And, like, people that you work with, like, do stay for the drinks.
And something really helpful that somebody said was, think of each person not being that person, but a link to another person.
Oh,
in this, right?
Yummy.
Yum, yum, yum. In the same way that you should also think about sort of opportunities or jobs or, you know, going to some rubbish, something that feels in itself rubbish,
yeah.
But there you might you might meet somebody interesting who would lead you to another thing.
Yeah.
So that person might not be very fun, but when they say, like, do you want to come to the pub and meet with my friends, you'd be like, no, you're awful, but go, because
they might have a cool friend.
Of their fight, you might meet, so that they're just a stepping stone. Think of all your awful people as just a stepping stone to someone good.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I see Tessa as.
Right?
Tessa's just a stepping stone to Tom.
Yeah. Soon I'll be cut from this, guys. And so that comes up all the time of, like, how to find friends in the big city. Like, join, you know, get involved with the community in a way that's, like, very overwhelming and difficult.
Yeah.
And on if you look in sort of websites that are for what I imagine is, like, male Yale students.
Okay.
Like, from Yale.
Yes.
Particularly things like...
Oh, like graduates. Yeah, they all meet up afterwards to be like, yeah, I'm from Yale too, let's talk about Yale things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, so this website is called Finance First Quarter. And I feel like it's for and made by Yale alumni. It says things like, look up on Facebook, like, literally they're in such of, like, to stalk people that you know live there that you don't know in real life. And then contact your university and find some of your alma mater, which is the word for people, other people who went to university, and look up the big dogs. And then, like, go and track them down because they live in the city, which sounds like absolutely crackers level of networking.
That's too much.
And then, so that feels like less to find some friends and more because you're insane.
Yeah.
So don't do that. And also don't listen to those, all those instructions of, like, just get out there, be yourself, like, join a jogging group. Like,
that's not
don't,
helpful.
No,
it's
don't,
not helpful.
Don't, it's not helpful and really you won't do it. And also, if you showed up to, like, the local life drawing class and were like, oh, hello, oh, I'm just here to make some pals. Everyone would, like,
go away.
Get
out of it. Help immediately, but
it's unhelpful. It's really unhelpful advice that makes you feel rubbish at it.
You will have people that do stuff already that you can, like, join in with. Like, you will have. Someone at work will run a yoga thing on Wednesdays. And you'll be like, actually, I do quite like yoga. Why not?
And even if you don't, just go to it.
Go anyway. Yeah.
Just bloody go. Fill your day. And my last two things on the emotional well-being were find the parks and know how to get high. Oh, you think it's about drugs, but it's not.
No, Tess, I don't want to talk about that.
Find the parks. So, like, know where to how to get yourself to, like, the nice green spaces.
Yeah, because if it's a sunny day, you want to get yourself out there with a book.
Yeah, get it. And
John,
like,
Grisham. Just you, John Grisham, and the blue sky.
Baby, it sounds good to me. Like, know where the lovely, nice spaces are. So if it all feels, like, too overwhelming, you've had a horrible day, you're like, oh, I'm just 5 minutes away from this lovely park, because you will be close to one.
Yeah.
Look it up on City Mapper, guys. And know
also, scope it out before you go, because you might be like, oh, lovely park, and then you get there and it's like, oh, it's a drug addict's den.
Oh gosh, not for me. So find the good ones.
Yeah.
And the other one is know how to get yourself really high up, because sometimes in a city it feels just so overwhelming, and when you're so small on the ground, surrounded by all skyscrapers.
There'll be a nice cafe or something that you can, like, look across rooftops.
Somewhere that's a rooftop. Because Mary Poppins had it right. Get yourself up on those rooftops, because then it just...
But don't actually climb on the roof.
Don't
if it's
get
not,
into parkour, guys. No. It is not for you.
No.
But know how to get up there and, like, see the sunset, or see... Because that thing of not being able to see the horizon is a really overwhelming thing that people don't realize the impact that has. That when like, the sun sets at, like, 2 p.m. behind that building.
and then
you're plunged into dark,
and
into bleak, bleak darkness.
Any clouds or sky.
So for God's sake, get yourself... Know how to get high, know how to get to the park.
You can also, like, extrapolate that. And because I found when I moved in, like, moved to London, I found it all very overwhelming. But weirdly, so whenever I was really sad or like, you know, felt like it just wasn't going well, because it took me a long time to get a job and to actually do anything that I thought was remotely worthwhile, about sort of a year and a half. And I'd go to, in London, there's, the place called the South Bank, and it's just, you know, it's quite touristy actually, but there's also some really nice benches that you can just sit and look out at the Thames. It's got, like, a lovely view, and there's a nice bridge that you go across, and you just see, like, how beautiful London is. And so I would do that, and it would make me feel not like better, like, oh, I don't care about my money worries, but it would make me go like I'm trying to make it here. Like, this is a big place to make it in. This is a hard place. Look how exciting it is. Everyone wants to be here. It's not going to happen just now. It's not going to be easy. It makes you kind of, like, center yourself a bit, and also be proud that you're trying to make it in a big city, because very few people can and very few people try, and you're trying, and, you know, you could just stay where you are, but you're not.
Trying something amazing.
Really,
and be really proud of that, and don't freak out that it doesn't all happen immediately.
And don't worry if it doesn't happen, because... You know, you will not be the first to go, this isn't for me, but definitely give it enough time that you've really given it a good go.
In the space of a week, you're not going to fall in love, find
or
some great friends. or ever, yeah. guys. No, it's, like, it's not going to be an immediate like, oh, and now I live in my penthouse apartment with my wonderful job and my fabulous husband, our eight dogs.
Might be.
Certainly could be. But don't punish yourself if that doesn't happen straight away.
No. You can do it. You can totally do it. If you have done it, or you just want to say hi to us over here while we sit in this big city and drown, then tweet us. I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5. No one tweets me anymore as well. Please tweet me.
What a massive fish.
I know, right?
People tweet me all the time, so.
What a massive smug fish.
A fish is in like,
no,
you're fishing.
I know what you meant, but I'm trying to turn it. You're like throwing the fish back out in the water. I don't know what the opposite is of fishing for compliments. Dunking for gold.
Oh, taking my fish I've got and smacking them around your face.
Oh, okay. Don't your fish around my face.
There we go. No, people don't tweet me either, but it's because I'm not very equipped. I'm not very good on Twitter.
Okay. Well, neither am I. But anyway, go at Tessica.
Yes, that's right. No, go on Twitter.
Tweet both of us. Send us as an email as well. We do love them and we do read them. Podcast at thedebrief.co.uk. I admit I haven't read them in about 2 weeks. So if you sent one in a fortnight, I will panic email you tonight. Give us a lovely rate and review on iTunes. If you liked it.
You're doing great, so well, everyone.
You're doing really well.
You're doing really well.
Congratulations on doing so well. And goodbye.
Hang in there.